الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبو القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وإذ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا. صلوات And when we took the covenant of Bani Israel to worship none but Allah and to have good and beautiful behavior towards the parents. And I told you the opinion of Allama Tabatawai Rahmatullah Alayh in his tafsir of Mizan, where he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since he is mentioning the subject of ihsan towards the parents, soon after the subject of Tawheed, it shows that Ihsan towards the parents is considered to be the second most important duty of Islam. If there was something more important and bigger wajib than Ihsan towards the parents, Allah would have certainly mentioned it soon after the matter of Tawheed. And we can also understand that neglecting this duty towards the parents is the second biggest sin after the matter of shirk and associating partners to Allah and denying the matter of Tawheed. Islam has laid down very well defined, understandable and beautiful laws and hukuk, which are mentioned by Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam and elsewhere in other ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We have very minute details told to us in other religion. Don't speak louder than the voice of your parents. Don't raise your voice higher to the voice of your parents. Don't walk in front of your father, except in the cases of danger, where the son is supposed to walk in front of the father. In all other instances, you have to walk behind the father. Don't sit under the, unless your father sits first. Don't raise your hands above the hands of your father. Don't stretch your legs in front of your father. Don't joke around with your wife in front of your father. And we find that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, in his dua in Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya, says that Allahumma khaffiz lahuma sawti. Where else can you find these ahkam except from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? There's beautiful things, there's illuminating and bright sayings of Ahlul Bayt, which are alive forever, like Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are alive forever. And their sayings are also new, because they came out from the source of Nur. And those who deny the sayings of Ahlul Bayt are actually denying Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, Allahumma khaffiz lahuma sawti. Oh my Lord, decrease, lower my voice before my parents. I should never raise my voice before my parents. It's a divine duty. How many of us realize these duties? Allahumma khaffiz lahuma sawti wa atib lahuma kalami, and make my kalam purified, pure, good towards the parents. There shouldn't be anything abusive, anything negative, anything wrong or evil. What to talk of humiliating sentences and contents. وَعَتِبْ لَهُمَا كَلَامِي. My kalam should be sweet and purified before the parents. Well calculated words. Even one word can break the heart. And the damage and injury caused by the words is deeper and bigger than the damage done by swords and spears. So he said that وَخَفِّضْ لَهُمَا صَوْتِي وَأَطِبْ لَهُمَا كَلَامِي وَأَلِمْ لَهُمَا عَرِيكَتِي, and make my akhlaq lenient towards my parents. That's strict and severe. Lenient akhlaq, soft behavior towards the parents. No matter what, how much big you do, how much great and large number of good acts you perform for your parents, I already told that statement of Imam Sajjad in one of the previous speeches, that may my Lord make me such so that I consider astaghfira birri astaghfira birrahuma bi wa in qalla wa astaqilla birrahuma birri bihima wa in kathira. May my Lord make me such that I consider less magnitude of good acts that they might have performed towards me less acts towards me, less goodness towards me, make me such to consider that less to be more. And no matter how much more and great number of good acts I have done towards them, make me such to consider my big number of good acts to be small. I consider my personal good behavior towards them to be less, no matter how much big I have done. And their less number of good acts to be more. Whatever you do, you have a very big act for your parents. You take your mom to the Hajj, let's suppose. Well, although it's not a big act, but people consider these things to be very big. I'm saying it's not a big act because we have plenty of ahadith that talk about these sort of things. Once a person was carrying his mom over his shoulders and doing the tawaf of Kaaba. During the tawaf, while he's rotating around the Kaaba, during the tawaf, he met the Holy Prophet and he was carrying his mom over the shoulders because she was old and she couldn't walk. So it is a service to your mother, no doubt. It is big sawab. But is it really big? Carrying your sick and old mom on your shoulders and doing the tawaf, helping her to do the tawaf. And he is now carrying and doing the tawaf, and he, during the tawaf he met the Holy Prophet, and while doing tawaf he asked the Prophet that, Ya Rasulullah, did I fulfill my duty towards my mom? Now that I'm carrying my sick and old mother on my shoulders and, you know, tolerating all this problem, these problems for her sake. And Prophet said, Hayhat, Hayhat. You did not even compensate for one of the cries of your mother that she had cried while delivering you at the time of your birth. You did not even compensate for one of those cries of your mother. How can you compensate for all of her services that she had provided for you? So those things which people consider to be very big, that we did big service for our father and mother, that we took her to the, let's suppose, to Hajj. Where does it stand? And, well, inshallah, in one of the future speeches, I will certainly talk about the concept, the spiritual duty that we have towards our real father. Because right now, in the beginning days, we have to talk about certain hukuk of the parents, and then inshallah I will also discuss some of the hukuk that the parents have towards their kids, because they also have lots of duties towards their children. And after that we will reach the final point inshallah, where I will discuss some of those duties that we have on our neck towards our real fathers. Because in Islam we have a biological father, which is your father, and we have a spiritual father. What Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that ana wa ali abawa hadhihi al-ummah. Me and Ali are the two fathers of this Ummah. And we have lots of duties towards our spiritual fathers, which are unimaginably higher than the duties we have towards our biological father. Let's first talk about that, and then we will reach, inshallah, in one of those speeches that will come in the future. And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in his dua says that if there are some huquq, if there is some haqq of my walidain that I could not perform, again, Imam Sajjad can never be like that. He is an Imam who is ma'soom. He is teaching us. These words are training for us because the Imams never neglect their duties. They are teaching us the modesty and teaching us the huquq of the parents, how much important they are. So he says, if one of the haqq of my parents are neglected by me, I did not fail to perform one of those duties towards my parents, make my negligence towards their duties as a compensation for their sins. Those sins that they have performed, my parents may have performed, my negligence towards their huquq should be in the place of a compensation for their sins. And a mother, and my negligence should consider my negligence, oh my Lord, consider my negligence towards my parents to be a matter of elevating their darajat and levels before your eyes. So if I do negligence towards their huquq, the duties that I have towards them, this negligence should be in the place of the raising of their levels before your eyes. What delicate points. And if my parents have done some negligence towards the duties they have towards me, in that case, I'm prepared to forgive all their negligences, so don't hold them accountable for that. Why? Because I'm ready to forgive and give up all my hukuk towards them, and all those taqseer and shortcomings that they have done towards me, possibly, I already forgive. Because their huquq on my neck are more wajib than my huquq over their neck. What a beautiful statement. I'm ready to forgive their negligence towards me, because their huquq over my neck are more wajib, awjab, they are more wajib than my huquq over their neck, over the neck of the parents. And their ni'mats, the ni'mats they provided for me, are longer lasting than those things that I do towards them. Whatever I do towards them is not longer lasting as compared to what they did towards me. It is longer lasting. Whatever good acts you perform, certainly your parents get the salam, because they taught you those good acts. If you come to the masjid and learn something, if you come to the Husayniya and Ambarga to learn something, if you pray, if you fast, if you give qums, if you do whatever you do, all the good acts, your parents certainly get the salam out of it, because they were the ones who brought you first into the masjid and taught you how to pray and how to learn. So they are part of every single good act you perform. But they are not part of the good acts that other children perform or other parents perform. But our spiritual father is part of the good acts that every single human and jinn performs. Because whosoever performs or whatsoever he performs, God, is due to Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. So now you realize a glimpse of the idea of why our spiritual fathers are way more superior, uncomparably superior than our real fathers. And the duties we have, the inshallah I would mention in the future, are much more superior than the duties we have towards our parents. So what I was talking about here is that the parents are included. They get the sawab of every good act that the children perform. And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam said that if they did any negligence towards my duties, I am ready to forgive them, because their hukuk on my neck are more wajib than my hukuk on their neck. And the ni'mats they provided for me are longer lasting as compared to what I do towards them. So, I don't want any wabal for them. Imam mentions, I don't want any wabal for my parents, because if parents don't perform their duties towards the kids, they also have wabal. They have trouble. Certainly, they have lots of duties towards the children. Nobody is aloof. Everybody will be held accountable. They are also supposed to perform a set of duties towards their children. Since when? That, inshallah, I would mention in that speech in which I would discuss the duties of the parents towards some of those duties of the parents towards their children. So, if the parents don't perform, they will also be held accountable equally, and their negligence is a wabal for them. It's problematic. It's a trouble. And Imam Sajjad said that I don't want to hold them accountable for their negligence. I don't want no wabal for my parents. And we should also pray in a similar way according to the words of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. How much the father and mother love their children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Hadith al-Qudsi that al-khalqu ilani, my creation are my family. They are just like my family members. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certainly much, much more love towards his ibad, the people, much more than the father and the mother. And all the laws that he has set down for us are for our own benefit. But people don't realize. Just as if you see a palace, a house built in this world, and you get involved with the beauty of the house, how beautiful it is, what a nice design, architectural design, and all other things that are installed and equipped in that house, you start praising the house, but you forget the person who built that house. Actual beauty lies in the person who constructed that beautiful house, not in that house, because he's the one who constructed it. So no matter all the beauties of this dunya that attract our attention are not the real beauties. The real beauty lies in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has provided beauty to everything else. And everything else is beautiful because of him, and he is beautiful because of himself, nothing else. Allahu jameelun yuhibbul jamal. La yahmadu hamidin illa rabbahu. Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, no praiser. No one who praises. There isn't anyone who praises except that he, in the real sense, he praises Allah. No matter what you look in this world, and you get inspired by the beauty of the trees and the valleys and mountains and rivers and lakes, and elsewhere, it's the beauty of Allah, and he deserves to be praised in every beauty, no one else. deserves any praise. When Prophet Musa was born, and since Pharaoh had already announced that I'm gonna kill every child that would be born, because the astronomers had told him that a child is going to be born that would finish your kingdom and destroy you. So as soon as he heard that, he ordered to kill every child who was born in his whole empire. And because there is the will of Allah that supersedes every will, Allah commanded, كَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ. Allah had commanded the mother of Prophet Musa to make a box and put Prophet Musa in that box, and then put the box in the river Nile. And the mother of Prophet Musa was naturally very worried about it, a newborn baby who required so many things, requires food, requires, milk and everything. And a newborn baby is commanded by Allah to be put in a box and thrown in the river. So who will take care of him? He will die. Naturally, the mother is worried, but Allah is more worried about him than the mom. And I recall a story of one of our great Maraji, Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sheikh al-A'zam, Sheikh Ansari, Rahmatullah alayh, who is one of our greatest Maraji, although all of our Maraji are great and respectable. All the Jami Sharaif Maraji are respectable, and they did give great, great services for Islam in every period of time, and safeguarded the religion in the time of Ghaybat. But Sheikh Ansari is unique in several aspects, and his books, those two famous books of Rasail, Kitab al-Rasail and Kitab al-Maqasid, are part of the syllabus of every Shia madrasa in the whole world. And those are remarkable books. Sheikh Ansari was a very pious person, and when his father and mother, when his father wanted to send him to Najaf, in those days Najaf was the center, which unfortunately we find that nowadays it's destructed by Saddam. And there are very, very few scholars who are remaining in Najaf, and more than 99% of them have already migrated to Qom. May God have his la'nat on Saddam, who destroyed this Hawza for 1100 years. So, his father was trying to send the son to learn Islamic education in the Hawza of Najaf, and the mother was opposing because they had only one son. And mother had a lot of love, like every mother. And what the father and mother of Sheikh Ansari decided among themselves, that okay, let's see istikhara. Whatever istikhara comes out to be, we will act accordingly. And they saw the istikhara, and it turned out to be the same story of Prophet Musa. And when her mother was worried about Prophet Musa, and she was sending her, putting in the box and throwing in the river, and she was worried, Allah, in order to satisfy her, sent this revelation that Inna Raduhu Ilayki wa Ja'iluhu Min al-Mursaleen. We will certainly return him back to you. Allah said, we. He takes the commitment to the mother of Prophet Musa that we would certainly return him back to you. inna rabbihu ilayki wa ja'alihu min al-mursaleen. And not just that we will return him back, may we return Musa back to you, but we will also make him among our messengers. Salawat. So that verse of the Holy Quran came out in the Istikhara. And Shaykh Ansari was sent and returned back as a marji from Najaf. And all the scholars, you know, the Prophet had said, Al-ulama'u warathatul anbiya. The scholars are the inheritors of the anbiya, of the prophets. They do the same job of the prophets. They tell you nothing except what the prophets and imams have said. And their fatwa and hukm is always according to the law of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. And those who oppose the fatwa and hukm of a marji are not opposing the fatwa or hukm of that marji, but they are opposing the hukm of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Because the marji doesn't say it out of his own, he said it from Quran and Ahlul Bayt. And this is also not from me. It's there in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Maqbula. Unfortunately, we have plenty of people in different societies and communities, not less in number, who are ready to challenge the fatwa from Mujtahid and challenge the hukm of Mujtahid as well, which is higher than fatwa. When the Islamic leader, when the Wali Faqih gives a hukm, it's wajib on every human and every jinn on earth, including all the maraji. But we are big enough to challenge the hukm of Allah. The hukm of a mujtahid is the hukm of Allah and Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and Quran. But we are ready to stand in the face of Allah and challenge him. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said in that hadith, Maqbulat Umar ibn Hanzala, very, very famous hadith, which is called Maqbula because it is accepted to the scholars. Scholars have accepted that hadith that is famously known as Maqbula, Maqbulat Umar ibn Hanzala. Well, it's a long hadith, I'll tell you an excerpt of that hadith, which is in Usul al-Kafi, where Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says about such a mujtahid who is jam al-sharaif and everything, he says that فَإِنِّي قَدْ جَعَلْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاكِمًا. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, I have made him hakim and ruler over you. The Wali Faqih is made hakim from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam's behalf. Muqbila of Umar ibn Hanbala says that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, فَإِنِّي قَدْ جَعَلْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاكِمًا. I have made him hakim over you. فَإِذَا حَكَمَ بِحُكْمِنَا. Now that the mujtahid, the wali, has given a hukm بِحُكْمِنَا according to our hukm, which is in sync with our hukm, فَلَمْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ. But still it's not accepted by the people. Due to whatever reasons. Maybe they want to please the Yahud and Nasara. They want to save their jobs. They want to save their lives. They want to compromise over the values of Quran. They want to sell out their Iman. Whatever, you name it. There are every kind of people available in society. So I travel a lot from Europe to Australia to America and Canada. I have lots of experience or example that I can give from several cities interacting with different people. The more they become rich, the more arrogant they become. It's really hard to find rich people who are on the right path. It's not without a reason that we find so much stress in the hadith of Amir Mumin. Nahj al-Balagha is full. And the scholars have called Nahj al-Balagha as the Kitab al-Mazammat al-Dunya. It's a book, the book of condemning dunya. Because whenever you open the Balagha, Amir Mumin is condemning this dunya. The scholars call it as the book of condemning this dunya. This is the second name of Nahj al-Balagha. It's not without a reason that Amir Mumin is condemning Maal, condemning dunya, taking Kumail with him and saying, Ya Kumail, Al-Ilmu Khairun Min Al-Maal. Knowledge is better than money. And he gives the reason. العلم يحرسك وأنت تحرس المال. Aim for God's will, whereas you have to serve God the money. But we find plenty of people in society, the more they become rich, the more arrogant they become. It's only they couldn't grab power on the globe like Fir'aun of the time of Prophet Musa. That's the only difference they have between them and between Fir'aun. Fir'aun managed to grab power on the planet. According to the very criteria, he has every right to claim that I am the Lord. Well, he used to rule over the whole globe, not just a country or a continent. Over the whole globe. There were two Mormons and two coppers in the history who were ruling over the whole planet. And Fir'aun was one of them. So, if a person who rules over the whole globe starts claiming that I am your Lord, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ, I am the great Lord. There are people who, as soon as they become rich, they are ready to challenge the hukum of the Mujtahid. And making fun of the Mujtahid. We're not making fun of that Mujtahid, because Mujtahid did not say it out of his own pocket. He said it out of Quran and Hadith of Ahlul Bayt. So they are challenging Quran and Ahlul Bayt. And that is what we find in the Hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Maqbulat Umar ibn Hanzala, that I was mentioning, that فَإِنِّي قَدْ جَعَلْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاكِمًا, I have made him ruler over you. فَإِذَا حَكَمَ بِحُكْمِنَا, if he issues a verdict according to our hukum, فَلَمْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ, but it is still not accepted by the people. They have ifs and buts and strings and compromising. All they want to do is compromise with maslahat and ta'wil, so-called maslahats, to save their lives. So, فَإِذَا حَكَمَ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ فَلَمْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّمَا اسْتُخِفَّ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ. What happened, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, when the mujtahid, when the wali, when the hakim, when the hakim al-shara has given a hukum and the people did not accept that hukum, فَإِنَّمَا اسْتُخِفَّ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ. Actual case, and as a matter of fact, the Allah's hukum is considered to be khafif and sabuk and lowly and disregarded and dishonored. People have not actually dishonored the hukum of that mujtahid, they have dishonored the hukum of Allah. فَإِنَّمَا اسْتُخِفَّ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ وَعَلَيْنَا رِدَّا, and they have rejected us, Ahlul Bayt. When the hukum of the wali, hukum of the hakim al-shar, wali al-faqih, is rejected, people have rejected us, Ahlul Bayt. وَعَلَيْنَا رِدَّا وَالرَّادُّ عَلَيْهِمْ, and now, as it's a tradition of Prophet Ahlul Bayt, after mentioning the point, they come and they describe the general formula which can be applied everywhere. It's a general rule that they tell as a qawiyatul kulliyah at the end of the hadith. And they say, وَالرَّادُ عَلَيْهِمْ كَالرَّادِ عَلَيْنَا, whosoever rejects them have rejected us, Ahlul Bayt. And what's the rule about those who reject Ahlul Bayt? وَرَادُّ عَلَيْنَا كَرَادُّ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and whosoever rejects us, Ahlul Bayt, is just like the person who has rejected Allah, because Ahlul Bayt say nothing except what Allah wants. And Mujtahid says nothing except what Ahlul Bayt wants, and Ahlul Bayt wants the same what Allah wants. So وَالرَّادُّ عَلَيْهِمْ كَالرَّادُّ عَلَيْنَا وَالرَّادُّ عَلَيْنَا كَالرَّادُّ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Now what is the hukum of those who reject Allah's hukum? وَالرَّادُّ عَلَى حَدِّ الشِّرْكِ بِاللَّهِ, And the person, this is the statement of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, it's not mine. وَهُوَ عَلَى حَدِّ الشِّرْكِ بِاللَّهِ And he is at the boundary of shirk billah. So, but there are abundant of people everywhere. Yeah, not less in numbers. The more they become rich, the more they are arrogant. They are not ready to give away the charge of an organization or a Husayniya or for a masjid in the hand of the scholar to run it in the proper religious way. How can they deliver the government to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam? And then we say that Firaun did this and this and this. Even Husayniya and Imam Bara and Masjid has to be run according to our law. The paisa bhi hama, paisa hamara to deen bhi hamara chalega. That's the thing. Because we got money, we are running it, so now the Sharia has to be a slave of our desires. That's exactly the thing of Quran. Without a difference. Because he used to rule over the world, he was the richest man on earth in those days. So these guys actually couldn't manage to grab power of the planet, otherwise they would have done the same that Ana Rabbukum Al-A'la. And Allah also has a beautiful criteria, not your acts only, but your niyat. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالَ بِالنِّيَاتِ If your niyat is that arrogant, only that you couldn't grab the power, if you had managed to grab the power, you have done the same that Namrud and Firaun did. So you would be respected among them. Yeah, a person in America, in one of the states, said to me, Maulana, my Imam is Clinton. We were talking about the concept of Imamat in Islam. That was the exact words of that fellow. My Imam is Clinton. Well, it's nothing new that you want to compromise them about your faith to please the Yahud and Messiah. Nothing new. That happened throughout the history. We are mourning Imam Hussain of Islam every year. Right? So, the mother of Ibn Ziyad was a Jew. Maisuma and the mother of Yazid was a Christian. Only those people who don't know the history can be fooled. And those who know the history cannot be fooled. So what I said to him is that, well, I don't want to say anything else except that يَوْمَ نَبْءُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ And the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to resurrect and going to call every person along with his Imam. May Allah resurrect you with him. My Imam is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and his Zabat, the Wali al-Khatib, his deputy. And I want to be resurrected with my Imam of time, Imam Mahdi, and his deputy, Wali al-Faqih, who is the deputy of my Imam. So, what I was telling you is that when the history says a family was traveling in the sea and in a boat and all the members, all the crew of that boat were drowned in a storm except a small child. Allah commanded, when Allah wills, I already told you, إِنَّهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ When He hath decreed a plan, He just says, be, and it is. And my teacher, Ayatollah Jawadi Amili, Hafizahullah, was saying in his lesson of Tafsir that this word kun, which is mentioned in the ayat, Allah even does not stand in need of spelling a single word kun verbally. It's just his irada, which is enough. Just it is said in Quran to, for us to understand. It's not a kun which is kun al-lafzi. It's not a word which Allah utters for the thing to happen. It's a kun which is called al-kun al-wujudiyya. Kun which is Allah just wills and it happens. So he doesn't even stand in need of saying kun, saying be. So what happened? Allah commanded a piece of wood of the same, a piece of wood to rescue that baby, and the baby was taken over that piece of wood and commanded the waves to bring him to the shore, and the waves brought him to the shore, and all the family members have already drowned. The baby is brought to the shore by the command of Allah, by the waves. And now Allah commanded a plant to grow up close to the feet of the baby. And the plant speedily grew up close to the feet of the baby to put its shadow with the leaves over the baby, so that the sun rays don't harm him. And Allah softened the hearts of some animals to come close and breastfeed that baby. And they did so. And then the same baby, history says, grows up, he becomes Namrud. And he starts claiming the same, that Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. I am your greater Lord. There is a Lord of the heaven and I am the Lord of this earth, but I am greater than him. He is inferior. Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. This is the nature of a human. Whenever he gets rich, he becomes arrogant. Every rich man on the planet is arrogant, except those precious few people who perform tazkiyat al-nafs even after getting money. And there are very few numbers. Very few, like Hazrat Khadija. Those people are very few. Otherwise, you can say it as a general rule. The more they get rich, the more they become arrogant. And that's why it's not without a reason Imam Khomeini used to say, throughout the history, all the majority of the followers of every prophet were poor people. And majority of the followers of every Imam were poor people. Except very, very less number of rich people, who are so less in number that generally speaking with Tasamuh and Musamaha, and metaphorically speaking we would say that all of them were poor, because they were so less in number. Money is not bad, but the attachment and love affair we acquire with the money, that now I'm not ready to give away for the causes and uplift of Islam and Islamic mission. This reveals whosoever is not ready to give his money away should understand, accept it or not, he should realize that he has hubb al-dunya in his heart. He already has hubb al-dunya. That's why he's not ready to give away his money. And Amir Mumin has said in Nabi Balagha that al-mali la yanfa'uka حتى يفارقك. Money can never benefit you until it leaves you. Keep the money as much as you can. You can pile it up with you and harm the Islamic causes, and let the poor people suffer, and let the causes of Iran and Iraq suffer, and you pile up the money and you don't know, maybe tomorrow you die, but you still pile up the money and let all the Islamic causes suffer. And the money can never benefit you either. because Amir al-Mu'mineen Na'udhubillah is not a liar. He said, Al-Malu la yanfa'uka, money can never benefit you, mal can never benefit you until it leaves you. But we think mal can only benefit us if it stays with us. And we say we believe in Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So, I was telling you that when the children, we find that parents take care of their children, and Allah loves their children, loves His ibad, His servants, more than the parents. But we find that as the children grow up, they forget their duties towards the parents. And those who forget their duties towards the parents are the same ones who certainly forget their duties towards Allah as well, in the real sense. So, and you forget that you were the same baby when your father used to come back from his job, and he was tired. He used to peel off the apple and put it in your mouth, although he was tired. And he used to feel good about feeding you, forgetting his tiredness. And your mom was awake all the night beside your bed when you were sick. But as you grow up, you forget. And you are doing zulm on yourself before you are doing zulm on them. And we have a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Nobody can run away in this. Nobody can escape. People think we can find a loophole. And I frequently say in my speeches, the only law where there is no loophole left out is the law of Allah. It's the law of our Creator. He's the law of intellect. He's the Creator of intellect. There is no loophole left for us to find and make a way for escape. We can fool ourselves, not the Creator. He's supreme. So, you think if we can misbehave with the parents, we can still make a way out? No. Because Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says in the hadith that barru aba'akum yabarrukum abna'ukum. Do good towards your parents and your children will do good towards you. If you're not ready to realize your duties towards the parents right now, how long can you live? After 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, well, I won't say 100 years, which is impossible, because a person who neglects duties towards the parents, we have riwayat that says that he has short age. So I would never say 100 years. He can never live that long. Those who neglect duties towards their parents can never have a long life. It's proven. So, how long? When you have your own children, they would do the same towards you like you did towards your parents. And besides, when we get into the grave, there would be insects eating up us in the graves. How we were taking care of our bodies in this dunya, we cannot even, you know, stand a fly sitting on us, on our face. We will remove it immediately. And what about if there are insects eating up, and earthworms, and snakes eating up your bodies in the graves? We have lots of riwayat. I don't want to go in that discussion. We have plenty of hadiths, not just one or two. And those are not lies. So, وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ in Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ يُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. In other words, whosoever will give a long age, he will reverse him in the creation. يُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. An old and elderly person starts behaving just like a child. He starts sleeping more hours, he needs more food, he just starts behaving similar to that of a child. And it's the duty of the children not to get annoyed or tired or fed up or frustrated from the service to the parents in that elderly age, but be as keen to serve them as they can. The Hadith I was trying to tell you from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says, that actually it was from Imam Bakr alayhi salam, where he says that nazara illa abi nazara ila al-ibn إلى الأولى رجل ومعه ابنه والابن متكل على ذراع الأب والابن متكل على ذراع الأب. Imam Baqir alayhi salam says that my father, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, saw a man, along with that man was his son, and the son was hanging in the hand of his father. Like some children rock like that, misbehave people. Hanging on the hand, when Ibn Muttakil ala Zira'il Ab, he is totally leaned on the hand of his father. It's a very bad etiquette in Islam. It's condemned. I already told you in the beginning of the speech, a son has to walk behind the father, except in the cases of danger where he's supposed to walk in the front. We don't care about what the Western people say. This is Islam. We have our own values. We don't need to copy nothing from them. Forget about all that. We have our own rules and values. When Ibn Muttakil ala Zira'il Ab, Imam Baqir al-Islam says that my father saw that man, and the son was along with him, and he was leaned on the hand of his father. فَمَا كَلَّمَهُ أَبِي مَقْتَلْ لَهُ حَتَّى فَارَقَ الدُّنْيَا. And this is there in Mustadrak al-Wasail. That my dad, Imam Baqir says, did not talk to that child, that son, because he was angry on that son till the time that son passed away, or till the time Imam passed away. He never ever talked to that son throughout his life. These are the facts. And there was a person whose mom, he used to live in a village at a distance from Karbala. And in old days there were no roads connecting towns and villages to the city of Karbala. Karbala was a small town. And this young man used to live in a village, and he had his own parents. And the riwayat says that what he had settled with his parents is that he would take one of them on Thursday. Since tonight is Thursday, I really would like to talk about this event before I finish the speech. Because Thursday has several specific things. And one of those biggest things is that it is related to Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And it is big sawab for anybody to go to the ziyarat of Karbala in the night, tonight, Thursday night. tonight before Jumu'ah. And all of your sins are forgiven. This young man who used to live in a village close to Karbala, he had settled with his parents that I would take the father on my shoulders, because both were old. I would take my father on my shoulders once, all the way in the desert, for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain in Karbala, from that village. And on the next Thursday, I would take the mother. And he would carry his mother on his shoulders on the next Thursday for the ziyarat. Once the riwayat says that it was the turn of his father, and his mom said to him that, "Son, I really wish to go and see Imam Hussain this night, because I don't know whether I would be alive on the next Thursday or not. So what you do is that please leave your father this time, take him to Karbala, and then do come back once again and take me as well to Karbala." And he was a very obedient son, and he did the same. He came back all the way from Karbala to take his mom, and he carried his mom on his shoulders to Karbala on foot. And the riwayat says, like the scholars have narrated, that when he took his mom and he entered into the haram of Karbala, he says that this was the inayat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam that I received immediately because of this good act that I performed towards my mom, that when I entered into the haram of Karbala, I saw Imam Hussain alayhi salam sitting right over his grave, and I said salam to my Imam, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah," and Imam returned back my salam and said salam on me. And after that incident, whenever I go to Karbala, I say salam to Imam Hussain. I always hear his response with my ears, and Imam Hussain responds me back. This is the barakat of the service towards my mom that I did. And we have hadith from Imam Sadiq al-Islam where he says to Mufazzal, that Mufazzal, if you want to do the ziyarat of Allah in Arsh, go and do the ziyarat of Imam Hussain. If you want to shake hands and do musafaha with anbiya, go and do the ziyarat of Hussain ibn Ali. In fact, two scholars, a Shia and a Sunni scholars, were debating with each other about the matter of ziyarat of Imam Hussain. And the Sunni scholar was not accepting the fazilat of the ziyarat. And they went away. And after some hours, the Shia scholar came to the house of that Sunni scholar and knocked his door, and his mother said that this scholar, he has went for Karbala for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain. And this year scholar was surprised that we were having a debate few hours back and he was not accepting. And he went to Karbala and he met that person and he asked him, "Why did you go to Karbala?" And he said, "Because after that debate, when I came back home and I slept in my home, I saw a dream that I saw that there were two ladies coming from the heaven. And there was a light coming, and I inquired, and I knew that that was Fatimah al-Zahra and Khadijah al-Kubra coming from the heaven. And there were some papers that were dropping from that markab, from that sawari, And when I went through and grabbed one of those papers to see what is written on that paper, I found it was written that the mother of Hussain, Fatima Zahra, is giving the Bara'at Nama to everybody who visits her son Hussain ibn Ali. As soon as I saw that statement, I was moved that mother of Hussain is giving the Bara'at from the hell for all those who visit Hussain ibn Ali. How much love Hazrat Zahra has towards his son Hussain ibn Ali. We find in a riwayat that somebody met a person who was close to Kaaba doing the tawaf, and he had both of his legs were cut and both of his hands were cut, and he was blind. And somebody asked him that what happened to your hands and feet and why were you blind? And he said, well, I was among those enemies who gathered in Karbala against Hussain ibn Ali, and I was part of that enemy. And what happened is that after the shahadat of Hussain ibn Ali, I went close to the janazah of Hussain ibn Ali, and I was trying to take out the hijab band from the clothes of Imam Hussain ibn Ali. Then it was night, it was dark, and I found that the right hand of Hussain ibn Ali moved, and he grabbed my hand, and Imam stopped me from taking that, from stealing the Rabban. And what I did, I took a piece of sword that was lying close to the janazah of Imam Hussain, and I touched the hand, right hand of Hussain ibn Ali with that sword. And what happened is that Imam Hussain grabbed my hand with his left hand to stop me, and I cut the left hand of Hussain ibn Ali with that sword, and then I stole that. And when I did that, I found the thunder and the lightning that happened, and there were a few personalities who arrived, and Amir al-Mu'mineen, and the Holy Prophet, and Fatima al-Zahra, and Hassan al-Mustafa, all of them arrived from the heaven, and Hazrat Zahra came close to her son, Hussain ibn Ali, and Imam started complaining to his mom, that my mom, she is the one who cut my throat, and this person who is lying there, he is the one who cut my head, and who steal that? And Hazrat Zahra curse me, may Allah make you blind, and may Allah cut your hand and feet. And that was the time since then.
رحمة الله على القرن العربي وسيعلمون الذين ظلموا أياما قلبي ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها لا إله باتم الإسلام كسر بلن فرما باتم الكفر النفاق كسر نبو فرما انقلاب الإسلام كي حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراز کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پر برقرار رکھ تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما تمام اسیران اسلام کو جلد سے رہا فرما تمام مؤمنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مؤمنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما تمام مؤمنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما لا الہ میں شقت اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو امام زمانہ کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما ہم سب کو ان کے انصار اشیاء